Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Moses for Zion's Poor.
The natural thinking of men leads them to justify their own actions and blame God for his. The conscience of men, unless seared with a hot iron, ever testifies to them of their sin and shortcomings. But in that same natural mind, they seek out many inventions to excuse the actions produced by their proclivity to evil. Their very first invention is to deny that they are indeed innately evil. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Though the Scripture plainly testifies of their complete depravity, the natural man rebels at such a concept, and rather entertains the notion that there is a spark of good in all men, especially themselves, which can be fanned into a flame with the right sort of coercion upon their free will. To this end, man has invented religion, which is the primary tool used to fan those flames. Most are convinced that they can influence God's favor towards them by engaging in religious activities of one sort or another. These activities include, but are not limited to, Bible reading, soul winning, praying, doing good deeds, going to church, tithing, etc. None of these activities is in itself a bad thing, but any of them which are engaged in for the wrong reason are but a substitute for righteousness and therefore a stench in the nostrils of God. The Lord looks not on the outward deeds of man's religion, but rather searches the heart. He has no regard to those things which man intends to offer to him by way of sacrifice. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. The religion which man has invented is not interested in truth at all, except that it might serve unto its own profit. Men pursue religion for the benefit which they suppose it will grant them. Multitudes have made decisions for Christ simply to escape the fires of hell, which they have been stirred up to fear by the persuasive rhetoric of the preachers of doom. In fact, many speak of their religion as fire insurance and are convinced that their decision to get saved is indeed a true salvation. They are encouraged in this delusion by the preachers of free willism, who continue to stir them up to a life of religious works on the premise that they might gain even greater blessings for themselves from the Lord. This is the error of the Judaizers. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Man's quest for religious satisfaction motivates him to seek out all manner of religious experiences, many of which cannot be distinguished from emotional releases brought on by psychological pressures ministered by men skilled in the art of deception, who are often themselves deceived. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Yet that man to whom the Lord has regard is compelled by his spirit to bow down before the footstool of God, confessing his sin with nothing at all to bring unto him. He is made aware of his utter and complete wickedness and inability to do anything to influence the favor of God towards himself. He knows himself to be utterly dependent on the mercy of God and completely worthy of destruction. He has no bargains to make nor anything to barter with. He is shut up to the mercy of God. Such a mindset can only come by revelation, which is the work of the Spirit of God, in the appointed heirs of salvation, as he quickens them. It is as a result of this work that the gospel of the finished work of Christ appears to them as a sweet savor and a most desired haven of rest. It is the height of folly for men to seek to accuse the Lord of glory of any sort of wrongdoing. Yet these accusations are at the heart of man's rebellion against the preaching of the cross, which is foolishness to them. Religious men hate the notion that the work of Christ alone is that upon which all of the blessings of God to mankind is based. They feel that there has to be something that they can perform which will cause them to gain his favor. They are adamant that such a notion would be grossly unfair to those who put in great time and effort to perform religious deeds only to see the publicans and harlots welcomed into the kingdom without this same expenditure. They accuse God of unrighteousness and disregard the sweet sound of grace, refusing to bow down to him who alone can save them. The men of this world hate the cross of Christ because they find a great imposition in being compelled to fall down and worship Christ as the one true God. This is much too narrow-minded to suit them, and they rail against him who would declare that he is the way, the truth, and the life. But there are those from all cultures, walks of life, and backgrounds who are the objects of God's mercy. They are taught of their own wickedness and drawn with cords of love to worship at the feet of him who shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross to purchase their eternal redemption. Are you one of those?
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.